Good morning, everybody. Welcome. Hopefully you've all got notice sheets. Most of you are fanning yourselves with them. Got all the notices on for the week. There hasn't been anything added. Afterwards, we meet in the lounge for tea and coffee. So feel free to stay. And if there's a lot of people, feel free to come back in here once you've got your drinks, if you like. So just want to welcome you all to this morning's service. Ricky's preaching and I'm leading. If you're new, please don't go without speaking to someone. So yesterday we had a really good afternoon here at the church. Can you hear me? Yeah, that was loud. We had the afternoon tea. It was really good. So most of you will remember we had a women's conference last March. Well, we've got another one coming up in February. Lou Fellingham is going to be speaking. So yeah, big things. But just the normal ones we have every quarter are just really, really good. There were a lot of people from a lot of other churches here supporting us yesterday, and we did feel really blessed. It was a really good service. Lots of people asked for prayer afterwards, and we had a really good time. Okay, so now on with this morning. We're going to start with singing Trust in God.
Jesus is mine. He's been will never fail. I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail.
Lord, we thank you for bringing us all here this morning. We thank you for the hot weather, and no one's ever going to complain in the winter again, I'm sure, for being too cold. But we thank you for bringing us here, and we thank you that we are able to all be here. We do pray for people that may be at home, not able to come out for whatever reason. Amen. Okay, has any young people had a birthday or got a birthday coming up? You have. Do you want to come down? Any more? No. Okay, I'll be grateful. I think he's coming. Do you want to choose a present?
I love them. Someone else wants.
I have had a birthday, but we don't need to talk about that.
Oh, yes, I think Terry's had a birthday this week. Oh, yes.
Are you going to watch the game tonight? Don't know. When was your birthday? On Wednesday? It is on Wednesday. It was. How old are you going to be?
10.
How old were you? 10. Well, we'll sing happy birthday to you while you take your football.
Happy birthday to you.
Philippians 2, therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. So we're going to have a time of worship now. We're going to start with The Lion and the Lamb. Then we've got a couple of other songs, More Love, More Power.
Coming on the clouds, King and King the
Lord, we just sung that every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. And we do pray that not just our knees will bow, our hearts will bow towards you now. So right now in the presence of God, we do lift our hands and we lay down our pride. We confess that we cannot live in our own strength and we want less of us and more of you.
More power, more of you. so rich a crown, worth the whole realm of nature mine, that were it all, very fine and small, that's all I made, seems so divine, did not my soul, my life, my own.
Please be seated. The children and youth are now going to leave. If you're new and you don't know where to go and you'd like to go out, anyone up to the age of 16, 18, grab someone or ask someone and we can show you. And Bev is going to lead us in prayer. God bless. It's so good to have the youth and the children with us for that first bit of the service. Let's pray together, shall we? Father, you demand our life, our all, and we pray that you would accept the offering that we bring this morning. Lord, we pray that you would cleanse us and make us acceptable. And Lord, we ask that you would bless each and every person here, and Lord, each person who is connected with this congregation, our big wider family. Lord, we pray for those who can't get out, and Lord, we ask that you would give them strength and peace to know that their walk with you is ongoing. And Lord, we thank you for their lives and their witness that have been servants in this place for so long. And Father, we ask too that you would bless those who are healing and who have been recuperating over the past few weeks. Lord, we pray that you would continue their journey to full health. And Lord, where there's something possibly in the background, we ask that you would be there holding their hand as they go through any further treatment. And Lord, we do pray as we look around your world and the mess that we have made of it. Father, we pray for those in Venezuela. Lord, we ask that you would take many more teams out to them. And Father, if it be possible, that there would be more lives saved from under the rubble. And Father, we pray for the rebuilding. Lord, we ask that you would make the government and those that have money pass it out, Lord, and share it with those who are in desperate situations. Father, we do pray. Lord, we pray for the Christians who are there. Lord, we ask that you would raise them up as strong and good and kind in your strength. And Lord, we do pray for those who are mourning. So, Father, we give everything to you. Lord, we give warfare to you and ask that you would intervene as it continues. Father, we pray for each situation and ask that you would be in all of those places. And Lord, we pray for the individual people, those who are hurt, those who lose their homes, those who have nowhere to go. And Lord, we ask that you would be their shepherd and their stay. Amen. We're going to sing one more song before Ricky comes to bring us the word this morning.
My life in spirit and truth, glory.
Ricky comes up to bring us the message today. We pray that everyone here will hear something new in his message, and that someone will be in the building that really needs to hear what he's got to say. Amen.
Am I on? I'm on? That's good. I was just about to see in my pocket if the light was on or not. Amen. I'm just going to pray. Father, we just thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you, Father God, that your word never comes back void. And Father, we just thank you for all that you do for us, Lord. Though it be a warm morning, Lord, we're thankful to be alive and to be in your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So the title for this sermon this morning is I must decrease so that God can increase. Amen? And we know that can be a difficult task. But before I start anything, I always like to start with this. We are not looking for perfection, because none of us can be perfect, and we know that. There's only one perfect one, and his name is Jesus. Amen? And the scripture that we're going to be reading from is John chapter 3, and verse 30. And it just says, I need to decrease so that Jesus can increase. Amen? Now, if Ricky wants the physical side of him to decrease, which I've been trying for a while, I know what needs to increase is salad, veg, fruit, and all the other stuff that is not usually my vocabulary. And things that need to decrease are the sugars, the carbs, and all the good stuff. Sitting at home needs to decrease, and I need to take a physical act and go to that horrible word, the gym. And the gym might need to increase. That's going to help my decrease physically, right? And then I might get some results. But in that scripture, in John chapter 3, verse 30, it's the moment that John the Baptist recognizes something. He recognizes this, that Jesus has turned up. Jesus is on the scene. And because Jesus is on the scene, John the Baptist had to decrease so that Jesus can now increase. Amen? And I love the fact that John in that moment wasn't like, yeah, but come on. I've been baptizing many. You know, I've been eating locusts and honey until this moment was about to arrive. And now you're telling me it's no longer about me? John, it wasn't, I'm afraid. And when he baptized Jesus in that moment, he knew then it was all about Jesus and what he had to accomplish. And John was okay. I think he wasn't mentioned a little bit more further down the line when he was arrested, bless him. But he knew Jesus was on the scene. So when we hear statements about us decreasing and letting go of our will so that God's will can take center stage of our lives, it's very, very difficult for us. It is difficult. So we have to say that our plans and our goals for the next 5 years or something like that, you mean to say we have to let go of some of these plans for the sake of the kingdom of God? That can be scary. And I know myself at times I've said, no, Lord, Ricky's will, I'm sticking in. As they say, I'm digging in my 2 feet. I'm digging in. Ricky's will is staying, and God's will is not coming in. And trust me, 9 times out of 10, well, actually 10 out of 10 when you do that, not even 9 times out of 10, the result will always come back. And you go, oh, I just wish that I said yes to God in that moment. I wish I said yes to his will in that moment. So the more we decrease and let God increase, the easier it becomes to be the Christian that God has called you to be. When you're standing on your will all the time, it's going to be very difficult for God to use your life to bring his glory, because it still remains about you rather than him. And we have to be careful in that. Amen? So yeah, something normally has to go, and whether we like it or not, it's usually our will. So that's why we've been saved, church. To fulfill the will of God on earth. That's the mission. You wasn't saved just to go to heaven, because then you might as well just go. You know, in that moment, you might as well just go, off, take me now. If that was the only goal of being saved. You were saved to fulfill a mission in Christ. That's why you're saved. You're alive today because there's a mission to fulfill in Jesus in your lives, from the youngest to the oldest in the church. Amen? That's why we're alive. That's why we're walking on the earth today. And if I look a little bit tired this morning, you can blame Ian and Sue. Actually, let's go with just Ian. He's probably hiding somewhere. He said we're going on an hour's walk, and 2 hours and 20 minutes later, we arrived back at the scene. And then I sat down, and then I realized I couldn't get back up. And then I realized I had to still drive home. Erfan's laughing because he still can't walk. I think he might have asked for a chair up here purposely because he still can't manage. So normally I like to move about a bit, but it's a bit painful. Yeah. Stop laughing, Erfan. So we have been bought with a price, and the price was the precious blood of Jesus Christ. In that moment, we laid down our rights and we laid down our will to God's. And his will and his plan needs to be more important to us. Because that's what happened. There was a transaction that took place, whether you like it or not. When you said yes to Jesus, you're saying, yes, Lord, I surrender to you. Lord, use my life the way you want to use it. But wow, it's not easy. It's not easy. Do you know, sometimes when people say the Christian journey, that we're just a bunch of people that are just needed a crutch in life just to get through, tell them to come on the journey and see how tough it really is. Because it ain't easy to be a Christian. It's amazing. It's incredible. We have moments with Christ that are just so wonderful, and then there's moments in your life where you just want to crouch in your chair and go, why? But that's the realities of life. We have to be real. There's no point pretending that it's white fluffy clouds and white rabbits walking around, and as you walk through the door, doors just fly open for you as you stroll through, you know, and all that. It's just rubbish. The Christian walk is the toughest walk that anybody will endure on. I'm telling you, and go on. I know that for a fact. It is. It's tough. Especially when you're in the business of letting go of your will. Then you realize it becomes tough. In the book of Philippians, chapter 3 and verse 8, I love this. It says, what is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ. Wow. Is Jesus really enough in our lives? Because Paul's saying this, just to gain Jesus is all I need. It's all I want. It's all I need. The rest of this other stuff, you want to chuck in my direction. Chuck it somewhere else. I'm not interested. I just want to gain Christ. What a statement. And this was a man that was very well educated. This was a man that thought he was doing the will of God at first, whilst he was called Saul. And when he met with Jesus, nothing else mattered other than to fulfill his will. It's incredible. What a statement from Paul. Can we get to the point that, Lord, I've got you. I've got everything I need when I've got Jesus. He fills every single hole that we've ever been missing. It's incredible. But we know Paul was a radical man as well. We know that. You know, Paul didn't play about, as we would say today, in 2026. He didn't muck about. He didn't play about. But he knew one thing. Just having Jesus is enough. One thing we're going to need in this walk when we surrender our will to God's is humbleness. And we need to stay in the place of being humble. Matthew 23:12 says this, "For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." James 4:10 says, "Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up." I know what path I would rather take. I'd rather look stupid and humble rather than to God to come and humble me. I would rather be humble. You know the saying as you're growing up, I don't know about you, but my mum used it quite a lot, especially with neighbours that had more than us, and they knew it, and they showed it and flaunted it. She's like, "Don't worry, son, they'll get knocked off their high horse one day." Anyone used that before? They'll get knocked off their high horse one day. And they usually did. And then they'll bring you back. "See, son, I told you." And do you know what? It's amazing. You ain't got Christian parents, but in that moment, they know scripture. Pride comes before a fool, son. And you're like, "Yeah, it does." And then you, as later on, you come, you in. They know scripture, some of them, don't they? You know? I'll be honest. I've been knocked off my high horse a few times. Especially when I made it about me. And it's difficult to remain in that place of humbleness. You know, when I first became a Christian, I'll say I was, you know, I just wanted to do whatever God wanted me to do. And I remember, I thought, I'm going to start fasting. And my main reason for fasting was to make a closer connection to Christ. I wanted to fast because I wanted to get closer to God. I was just so amazed by what he did in my life that I just wanted to get closer. So I started to fast. "Lord, I'm fasting for you." And I remember in those moments of fasting, God gave me powerful dreams. Dreams that was bringing to the elders of the church that were coming to pass. Dreams for people that were going through stuff, and I'll speak to them. And then all of a sudden, Ricky's not fasting for God anymore. Ricky's fasting because I liked the connection and the dreams and everything else that was going on. Then all of a sudden, it became about Ricky. And then one day I thought, I'm doing 24-hour fasts. I'm going to top it up to a 48-hour fast. Come on. And after that 48-hour fast, absolutely nothing happened. If anything, I just felt hungry. And I remember being annoyed. 48 hours. And the Lord didn't even say anything to me in this 48 hours. And as I began to pray about it, and that's when he said to me, "Do you know why? Because you made it about you. You was no longer coming to me for what I could give you. You was coming to me because you wanted something specifically. And it became about you and no longer about me." And we have to be careful, even in the sense of when we get giftings and all these different things, that the gift doesn't become about you, that the gift remains about him, because he is the one who gave you the gift. Amen. You didn't give yourself the gift. God gave you the gift. And if the gift ever becomes about you, it's no longer a gift anymore. It's about what you can gain from it. When I'm up here, trust me, I get nervous every single time. But when I'm here, I know I'm not here standing on my own two feet. I am here because Jesus has ordained for that to happen. And whilst I'm here, Lord, I always say, "Lord, give me the word for your church. Take me out of it. I want the word for your church." Amen? Church, we cannot hide from God. So why bother? Why bother? In Philippians chapter 2. Oh, no, actually, I'm going to go back a bit. I just wanted to remain in humbleness. When we talked about Christianity is not for the faint, I just wanted to share something from Alice Cooper. Everybody remember Alice Cooper? He said this: smashing up a hotel room, easy. Sleeping around with all the groupies, easy. Money, what I wanted, easy. And then he said this: but when I became a Christian, it was the hardest thing I've ever done. Because all of a sudden, the flesh had to go. And the will of God, I've been attacked on stage, and the will of God had to come in. Amen? Just remain in the place of humbleness. And in Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 to 4, it says this: do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but of each of you to the interest of others. Timmy, I always pick on you. If I've got your interests above mine, yeah, and you've got mine above yours, and we can go around for each other, nobody in the church should lack. You see, because sometimes we see it as, what, so I've got to put somebody else above myself. Yes, because if you do that in the hope, there's somebody else putting you above them. That's the point. And when you do that, nobody lacks. Nobody in the church should lack, because we should be esteeming each other above each other. And if we do that across the board, everybody should be okay. Amen? Amen. So just remember that. And I just want to read a story. We're just going to go through it. It's from Romans chapter 10. It's about Cornelius. Now, we know the whole chapter really is to get Peter to understand that salvation's not just for the Jews. It's for the Gentiles as well. But just out of that story, I just want to read from this. It says, why do we always have these weird words in the Bible, you know? They should just bring a ghetto Bible in for me. Is that all right next time? At Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion, in what was known as the Italian regiment. He and all his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. One day, at about 3 p.m, he had a vision. He distinctively saw an angel of God who came to him and said, Cornelius! Cornelius stared at him with fear. What is it, Lord? He asked. The angel answered, your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. Now, I know one thing about God. If God's bringing it up, this must have been a humble man. This must have been a man that gave to God and did want nothing in return. It was just birthed out of his love for God, and he wanted to fulfill the will of God, because this is what God had asked of them, that they should give to the poor. And I love that he mentioned that, because it's something for us to understand. If the centurion was really about himself, there is no way that God would bring it to the attention of us to read. There's something in there for us to grab. It's not about us. When you give to the poor, you give to the poor. You're doing it unto the Lord, not unto ourselves. Not like children, you know, the kids, they don't forget anything. They think they're poor all the time and we should give to them regularly. And when you don't, oh, they remind you. In any relationship, if it was only about one person, it's not a very good relationship. It's not. But we, the one we have with Christ, is the one that needs to be top priority. It needs to be top priority. We want God to fill us, to live and entrust us with his work. And it's only because we can give the glory back to God and not for ourselves. Lord, I don't get on with that person. So why do you want to use me to bless that person? I don't even get on with them. I don't connect with them. And God's saying, yeah, but I'm connecting with them. I'm hearing their cry. I know their need. And guess what? You are the one who is in the position to fulfill it. So go and do my will and bless that person. Again, because we bring it back to us. And it's not about us. There's no excuses not to do the will of God. There isn't. We can try and make them up and we can bring them to him. And he's not going to be, he'll understand why you're feeling the way you feel. But there's no excuses when God needs us to meet a need and to fulfill his will. So we need to be a church and a people of self-reflection. And when we're doing things for God, making sure it comes from the right place. And with the end result, God's glory. The Bible says this, seek first the kingdom of God. Not second, not third, not fourth, not fifth, but first the kingdom of God. Then all things, what? Will be added on. So do we truly go and seek the kingdom of God first, or do we seek self? How does this make me feel first, Lord? What do I want to do in this situation, though, first, Lord? No. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Because when you go to the right source, you will get the right results. And the right source is Jesus first. So spiritual fulfillment comes from elevating Christ above ourselves. So we think about Nathan, our minister. At the age of 16, signs a semi-pro football contract. And it's then God said, son, you've been called to ministry. It's time to tear up the contract and come and fulfill the will of God. I'd just been promoted at work when I worked for the railway. And I was really enjoying my job. We used to block stations everywhere. I loved it. You know, I'd be outside Blackheath train station in London. And as soon as people saw us, they started running and jumping over fences. I thought, that don't usually happen to me. Only because I wanted to get a fine out of them. But I enjoyed the job, is what I'm saying. Not for people jumping over walls. That's not, you know, it's not ideal. But I enjoyed the job. And I'd just been promoted to this rail protection officer. Protect South Eastern Railway, come on. And all their millions. And anyway, in that moment, pay rise, free travel, everything helps. It's when my pastor comes to me and says, do you fancy working in ministry? I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. I've just got married as well. Just got married. I went, well, I mean, I would love one day to work in ministry. And I knew in my heart God was calling me into ministry, you know. But I was like, oh, yeah, well, of course, yeah, you know, ministry is in my heart, definitely. But not right now, it wouldn't be. And he went, I mean, well, what are you offering? So I really, really want you to manage the homeless centre that we've got. And this homeless centre was an incredible place. You know, we saw people's lives transformed for the gospel of Christ. It was incredible. And it's called Caring Hands in the Community. And the picture that we had was always someone pulling someone up. Because we always said we're a hand up, not a hand out. And I said, all right, how much are you paying? 15 grand a year. I'm like, what? I just got married. 15 grand a year. But it wasn't about that. I made it about me. Lord just wanted me to utter the three words. Yes. So in the end, I was prayed about it. I really felt God convicting me to take the job. So I said, yeah, okay. Handed in my notice at South East Railway. They couldn't believe it. But by the time I got the job, the pay had increased by £10,000. And why I'm saying that is because God knew that. I didn't know it. He knew it. He just wanted me to trust him. Trust me with my will. Trust me with what I'm going to do. And in the end, that happened. And I used to roll out of bed now. I didn't have to get a train at 4 o'clock in the morning. And I was still late. But I'd come out of one door and go into the next door, and that was work. So obviously, naturally, you think I've got more time in bed. But you don't. But what am I saying? God knows what he is doing. Trust him. Trust him. Trust him. He knows. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. The last scripture I want to use is Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Again, a popular scripture. I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by the faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Amen. Again, what a scripture. We no longer live. Christ lives in us. Trust him with your will. Trust him. He will not fail us. He will not let us down. Though the journey can be tough, it's an incredible one. It is an incredible one. So some of the things we can do, church, to do that. The first one I've got is prioritize Christ. Let him be first in your life. He's never going to do anything that's going to make you stumble and make you look bad and make you worry. He will come through every time if you prioritize him. Oh, I don't know about this one, but step back from self-promotion. Recognizing the person, it's God's glory we're here for. No other glory but God's. Celebrate the success of God's work, even when it surpasses one of your own ministry. You know, in ministry sometimes, and there's up-and-coming preachers or leaders that you recognize are great, probably do a better job than you. So what do? You try to turn around and say, I don't think you're ready yet, mate, you know, or whatever, because you're worried. Really, we should be embracing it again. Praise the Lord. What's next for my journey? I can hand this over. This is amazing. Where's God taking me next? But we worry sometimes. There's no need to worry. God's got something else in line for all of us at different points in our lives. So just focusing in on a deeper relationship with Christ through prayer, study, and fulfilling his will. When you put your hand to the plow, don't look back. Forward, focused on Jesus. And the last thing I'm going to say, if the worship team would like to come back up, is when we follow Christ, we will make an eternal impact, not a temporary one. So when I'm dragging the youth off to go to camps, we've got some of our campers in, some of the new guys coming to see us today. They know I should have told you I was preaching. You might have had a chance to go out, Kaz and Rupert. But when we are doing things for God, as you know, I hate camping. I don't camp for me. I camp for Jesus. And I know that this will have an eternal impact on our youth. Amen? Not a temporary one, an eternal one. And that's what we're doing. We're making an eternal impact, not a temporary one, church. Amen? Amen. I'm going to hand over to the worship team.
Lord, we thank you. We thank you for the word that Ricky has given us. We thank you that less of us and more of you is needed. And we pray that each and every one of us will say yes to you when we're asked to do your will. Amen. If there's anyone that would like prayer, we do have a prayer corner in that corner. Or grab Ricky on your way out if you've got any questions or you wanted to speak about anything. Would you say the grace together? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and then fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Thank you. Teas and coffees, I can hear them. They ran out making.
Which one? Last one again.